Today's reading comes from the book of John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And the reading will be from verse 1 to verse 23. Verse 1, verse 23. And in our share, I will ask you Brother Mason to read it for us. And then we are going to read in English, but John chapter 5, the Gospel according to John, chapter 5, verse 1 to 23.
Bakula kuti Yesu achikiritsa kupwala kutsamanda la Petsira. Zidapita izi, padali pa vanhu va Yuda. Ndipo Yesu anabwera kubva ku Yerusalemu. Kuma vanani tsamanda mu Yerusalemu pano chipata cha mkosa. Nochedwa kuti Heberi Petsira riri ndi mabumbi asanu. Menemo munagona khamu lalikulu la anthu odwala akulu, opunduka miyendo ndi okuwala. Koma panali munthu wina apo ali kudwala kwake zaka 33. Yesu pakuona ameneyo ali kugona ndipo anadziwa kuti anabwera nthawi yayikulu, pamenepo ananena naye, ufuna kuchiritsidwa kodi? 7. Wodwalayo anayankha, Ambuye ndine wondifika ine kutsamanda, paliponse madzi avunduliwa, koma mmene ndili kudza ine wina atsira ndisadzike ine. Yesu ananena naye, tauka yerula masaya ako uyende. 9. Ndipo pomwepo munthuyu anachira nayerula masaya ake nayenda, koma tsiku lomwelo linali la sabata. 10. Chifukwa chake Ayuda ananena kwa uchiritsidwayo ndi sabata ndipo siku lero kwa ine kuyerula masaya ako. 11. Koma iyeyo anayankha iwo, iye amene anandichiritsa yemweyo anati kwa ine yerula masaya ako nuyende. 12. Namkusa munthuyo ndani wonena ndi iwe yerula masaya ako nuyende. 13. Koma wochiritsidwayo sanadziwa ngati ndani, pakuti Yesu anachoka kachenjechenje popeza panali anthu awinji malo kuja. 14. Zitapita izi Yesu anapeza mkwachisi nati kwa iye, taona wachiritsidwa usachimweso kuti ndichi ngakubwere choyipa choopsa. 15. Munthuyo anachoka nawusayuda ndi kuti ndiye Yesu amene anandichiritsa. Yesu akutumbula kuti ali mwana wa Mulungu. Ndipo chifukwa cha ichi Ayuda anarondaronda Yesu popeza anachitatizo dzuwa la sabata. 17. Koma Yesu anayankha iwo, atatewanga amagwirira ntchito kufikira tsopano, inenso ndigwira ntchito. 18. Chifukwa cha ichi anawonjeza kufuna kumupha sichifukwa cha kuswala dzuwa la sabata kokha, komatu amatchanso Mulungu atasewacho kwa iye yekha, natiyesera olingana ndi Mulungu. 19. Pamenepo Yesu anayankha nati kwa iwo, ndetu ndinena kwa inu, sakhoza mwana kuchita kanthu kwa yekha, koma chimene akuona Atate achichita ndicho, pakuti zimene iye azichita zomwezo mwananso azichita momwemo. 20. Pakuti Atate akonda mwana namuonesa zonse azichita yekha, ndipo adzamuonesa ntchito zoposa izi kuti mukazizwe. 21. Pakuti monga Atate akutsa akupa nawo apatsa moyo, omwemonso mwana apatsa moyo iwo amene iye akufuna. 22. Pakuti Atate sawerutsa munthu aliyense, koma anapereka kuweruza konse kwa mwana. 33. Kuti onse akalemekeze mwana monga alemekeza Atate. Osalemekeza mwana salemekeza Atate amene anamtuma iye. 24. Thank you very much. That was the reading in our directory. Well articulated and well
the word of and then we thank God. These are some of the great chapters. I was looking into one of the old Bibles of mine. You know, I hid them somewhere. So I was checking and I found that several times I preached elsewhere from that chapter. And I can see on the edges of my own Bible. I think that was the title of the message I preached somewhere, I don't know where, but it was there. Wait for you to me at home. I don't know when that was preached, but from the look of the Bible, it seems I had a full time that time when I preached that message titled Wait for Your Miracle. But today, I know tomorrow I'm preaching here at your church, and the message has been titled there as the grace in the pool. Grace in the pool. So, I was just fascinated looking at how different the survival has been made as of now, when the very same chapter had different view from that one time to this time, to be so thankful to the Lord. Mm. Let me just read with you, it's in the King James version. After this very feast of the Jews, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. For there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having such porches. In this way, great multitude of important folk of blind thought will flood, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool, and he troubled the water, whosoever looked not. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Whilst thou be whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another stepeth down before me." Jesus saying unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asking they him, "What man is that which says unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" They asked him, "What man is that which says unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed whilst not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Okay. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come into thee." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh in the truth, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, by the saying also that God was in the Father, making him equal with God. Then he answered Jesus and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing on himself, but what he saith the Father do, for what thing saith he does, those things also do the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son," and that's the point here, "and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel." 21. "For I and the Father raised up the dead, and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth who he will. For the Father judges no man, but he has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him." We only say amen to the word of God, and we thank God for his voice. And I think let us sing today by at the end of the service, and we would like to go, especially half past three, and would like to go and even straight into the word of God after hearing the reading from the book of John, and let us bow and even pray. Precious dear Heavenly Father, we just invite a hopeless man who spent many years at that place of healing, but he could not until Christ, your Son Jesus Christ, found him. If it was not that day of Christ finding him, just by the pool, his life, just like any other life, was hopeless, for he had no mind to put him into the troubled water. So we are, Father God. If he took the coming, the living, the dying, and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ to make us who we are today upon your throne, we have no one to give us salvation. We have no one. Even though we might be in churches in different places of worship, but if we have no one, then we are just like any other person who is far from any denomination. Father, thank you for salvation that has come to us. It's not our work. It is the work of Christ. It is the work which he accomplished and finished. It is the work of your Son who came and found us. It is the work of Jesus Christ who asked the questions, "Do you want to be healed?" It is the work of your very Son, Jesus Christ, who commanded, "Pick up your bed and walk, leave this place." It is that work of the Messiah that, Father, we are assembling together on your throne this afternoon in Africa and this morning in elsewhere, because of that work of Jesus Christ, which he fully accomplished, which he fully did. It is for on the behalf of each one of those God the Father has given him. And this, Father, what is the comfort? That we look at him is the only glory, the only hope, the only one whom we can put every worship and praise for the work he has done for our salvation. Lord, we may not, it may not look good to other people. So indeed they ask you, "Why? Who taught you to get healed?" But to him who made me well is the one who has made us to who we are today. For this, we thank you and we glorify you, and unto you alone we pour our hearts and our lives.
and to him, Father Lord, be all the glory and honor and praise, even in this hour. As you are ready to minister to us in the way, may the Spirit of the living God, whom you left to us, to teach us, to drive us, to draw us closer to the truth that we must understand and know. Father, will be teaching us, will be drawing us, correcting us for each and every thing that, Father Lord, you have installed, even today through your servant. May you give him grace to speak forth the word without compromise, the word without fear, the word without favor, the word that is has been put upon him from the Lord, so he speaks. To Christ alone be all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so very much. Yes, that man by the pool, the Lord had to draw his eyes away from the pool, which represents the ceremonies and traditions and methods of men, and draw those eyes to himself. And it's interesting to read that he didn't even know who Christ was. He wist not who it was, and yet the Lord knew him. And it was the Lord who sought him out, not him seeking the Lord. And that's the way it is for any of us that he saves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good reading. Well, let's take our Bibles together and look in Acts chapter 13. And we have a long portion here, so we'll just take it verse by verse. But the entire text is from verse 13 down to verse 41, and I want to speak with you on what is the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible. I remember asking a preacher one time, I said, if you just had but one word to summarize the entire message of the scriptures, what would that one word be? And this preacher struggled for an answer. He said, well, you can't just sum up the scriptures in one word. There are many different messages throughout the Bible that we have to hear. It's God's word, but many messages. That was his response. But I truly believe if a preacher has been taught of God by his Spirit, he'll know the answer. That one word that sums up all of Scripture is Christ.
Tinamana kurobdi mawa amozi. Lebu zungano lori mawo se ma alimba onse ni okuza Christ Yesu.
Now there are different ways of describing him, but regardless of the text, whether Old or New Testament, and we have to remember that here, they only had the Old Testament scriptures, but the subject of all of the Old Testament scriptures is summarized here in the preaching of the Apostle Paul as Christ. If there was one message of scripture that I would encourage preachers to study as to how it is we're to preach the scriptures, this would be an example. We already have seen a number in the book of Acts. We've seen Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, and it wasn't about tongues. It was about Christ.
Now
remember, Paul and Barnabas had been sent out to preach the gospel, and they were going to preach the gospel to the nations. But their message did not change from when they were in Antioch to now, since they're on the Isle of Cyprus in Greece, that somehow they're going to preach something else. No, regardless of the audience, regardless of the culture, whether it's in Israel, whether it's in Greece, which was what Cyprus was, part of Greece, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in the United States, there is but one message from Scripture that those who preach the Bible aright preach, and that is Christ. And the first thing that we will note here in Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 13, is that, again, it's the Spirit of God that directs preachers to go forth and preach the gospel where, when, and how he will. We saw that last time. And it says here in verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, we assume that company was Barnabas, it was also John Mark up to this point, and perhaps some others that were accompanying them from Cyprus along the way. But this is the Lord moving men into places where he has purposed before that they would find his sheep. That's what we're going to see by the end here. But the sheep aren't always those that we think in this chapter we find out the sheep aren't the Jews. The sheep are the Gentiles. I want you to note the words of Scripture. They're so vital, and sometimes we read so quickly we miss them. But notice in verse 13, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos. To loose something means to turn it loose. It means it was tied to Paphos for a certain time, and we saw already what took place there in the conversion of the of Sergius Paulus, a Roman. And once the Lord had been pleased to do his work in revealing Christ in that Roman deputy, because it says there that he marveled at the doctrine of Christ that was preached and believed on the Lord, then Paul and his company loosed. They were now loosed by the Lord to continue into another part of that island of Cyprus. Now, when it says there that they came to Perga in Pamphylia, this is just another part of this country of Cyprus. But notice, John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. We see already here that the Lord himself is separating out those who should continue and those who should go back. We're not told here in verse 13 why John Mark returned to Jerusalem, but we know from reading later on in the book of Acts that this separation between Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, him leaving, was the cause of even Paul and Barnabas separating later, and Paul continuing on alone. But even in this, I would say that we see God's sovereign and providential hand. Because when you read in Acts chapter 15, and beginning with verse 36 down to verse 41, you'll see that God himself purposed this separation. This was some time later, after Paul and Barnabas had finished traveling and preaching the gospel, and it says there in Acts 15:36 that some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." So the Lord was directing him now to go back to these initial places where the gospel was preached and encourage those who were the Lord's.
Now
you notice verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, and it says, whose surname was Mark.
Verse 38,
but Paul thought not good to take him with them. And notice the reason. He said, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul's reasoning was, he didn't even stay with us the first time. How is it now we're going to take him with us the second time to encourage those who heard the first time and he wasn't even with us?
And
notice verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Paul and Barnabas, who had been united and one and going and preaching the gospel, now separated. And so Barnabas took Mark, and notice, sailed unto Cyprus. He took him right back to where he had parted the first time. And if we have to remember, Barnabas was from Cyprus. So he's going back to Cyprus with John Mark. And that's where Paul chose Silas and departed. Notice, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now I know there are some that would say, whoa, we've got to stop right here and make sure we're unified before we go any further. And they would try to bring reconciliation. They would try to make sure that everybody moves forward at the same time. But I will tell you, that's not how God works. I have people ask me all the time, they say, well, in the United States, what are some other preachers that you have fellowship with? And when I tell them I don't have fellowship with but a few, they say to me, well, then do you think that you're the only one preaching the gospel? And my response is no, but you ask me whether I have fellowship with these. And I can tell you, there may be others preaching the gospel, but the Lord has not directed our path together. I'm preaching in the field where he has put me. They're preaching in the field where the Lord has put them. And I'm not trying to work out an organization here where we're all getting along. I just know I have to go in that direction as the Lord directs me. There were some that were never in agreement with Paul going and preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, they believed in Christ as he was revealed in Scripture, but they believed that the message should continue to be preached to the Jews. But the Lord raised up Paul to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so there was disagreement, but not over the message. It was over the direction of the Lord. That happens.
I will tell you that when the Lord first directed me to Shreveport, there were some preachers
with whom I was associated that thought that I should only come here temporarily, and that because of my abilities to speak and preach in French and my growing up in Africa, that that's where I needed to be, back in Africa. And when I told them that I believe the Lord was directing me here in a completely different direction, they parted ways with me. These were ones who had been very supportive when I was preaching in Africa, but now that I was back in the States, would not have anything more to do with me. In fact, when you read in Philippians chapter 1, we see that this was what Paul endured. Those that were not in agreement as to where he was going and preaching the gospel, they weren't opposed to the message of Christ, but they sought to direct him as to where he should go and preach. And there we have to be careful, because we're not to be directed by men. That influence that Barnabas was trying to put on Paul, because remember, Barnabas was Paul's mentor. He's the one that initially went and found him in Tarsus and brought him to Antioch. And now the pressure intense for him to take John Mark, but Paul had to go as the Lord was directing him. And we're going to find that's our case many times.
Now,
Notice how the Lord directed Paul to write about this in Philippians, because he's writing from prison. And he says in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, he calls them brethren in the Lord. So these are ones that have been saved by grace, waxing confident by my bonds. What he's talking about is that when they found out that he was finally in prison, they were actually thinking that's a good thing. Now maybe he will be taught of the Lord and humbled and begin to follow our direction. That's what they were thinking. And much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Mungu wafuna mungante, uli asie, kalibelo kala ikilakwa mitu mtu,
abwele sopano tizira ligeri mozi kwa Yuda. Ama gani za choncho magani zomao, poona kumangidwa, nikunususida kwa Paulo.
Mende. Now what I want you to note here is Paul is not talking about false preachers opposing him. These are ones who preach Christ. A false preacher doesn't preach Christ. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even in envy and strife, and some also of good will. Verse 16, the one preached Christ, notice, of contention. They're contentious preachers, but they preach Christ. Not sincerely, and notice, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. That these are ones that are thinking, now the Lord is chastening him because he's in prison, and that's a good thing. But what does he say? The other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, look what he says. Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. When Barnabas separated and took John Mark, that was it. Paul found someone else that the Lord directed him to, Silas, and he went on his way preaching Christ, regardless of the contention that had taken place between Barnabas and him over John Mark.
What do you want? Ujibe emenei agamagamba za bare wangwe. Musaiwale kujima li atumi yola li kino tseka wangwino. Aminata kuru musikipa nijisto mwishi. Nde alipo antuena amene ndara li kino nienda amene kesta jisto mwishi. Kwa mante wako wala mkuraya ba, ndara li kindi tu osam kidwa amchisto mwishi. Alipo ena ndagaduka. Chifuba, saona amene akulala kulao. I didn't believe I'm teaming up with some one who are now under the matter. Then you have a 15 apple. Emma to Ema atero ndichikondi. Kujua kuti anantika ndichitetwa kanira cha usenda wabwino. Kuma ena alalikira Kristu mmoja kwa mtotekana. Alipowe na ama alalikira mpikisano kwa Roma kwa kama mtonga hapa. Umango nenda na zina. Kwa sati kwa nai. Apo ya sabu kuti atatendi kukitira jisa ucho ucho mangira zaba. Gani zanyo kumi na nimele ziku kanda mungu. Uyu kumangi iwa nebuti. And the Kalpanadi Kulimba and the Kurekana, Sisita Mugwedez, the Sisita Mugeteste, Kodoni Kulimba, the water of Kudamaki Sabranapa, the entire Hanemari going to Kuria Kuderake, Pamu Sunday the Segea, in Mubaraku Sokorea, Kuran Gessia, Nayan so Adre Kuderake, Kodora Elena Kudorome, and the Kalpanibana, Wina Sunday Spoon, Pesopera Ponsaki, Wina Sopera Ponsaki, Kumarasana Potuzu, Wina Nepa Wina Nari Gotimogu.
What I want us to note is that the contention between Paul and Barnabas was not over the gospel. They were of one mind in the gospel, that it was over whether or not to continue with John Mark. And that thought that the Lord put in Barnabas, that he needed to continue to pair up with John Mark, brought this division so that now Paul would pair up with another called Silas. Now instead of one team of preachers going forth, the Lord had divided them into two. One going back to Cyprus and there to continue to preach the gospel, and the other continuing on to preach throughout the Gentile nations. That's how God does it. What we need to note here is that this separation, Paul bowed to the will of the Lord in, and so did Barnabas. But it's interesting, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, toward the end of Paul's life, we read here, when he's giving instruction to bring Timothy, for Timothy to bring with him when he comes to visit him in Rome, notice, verse 11, only Luke is with me. Now remember, Luke accompanied Paul during all of his ministry, gospel ministry, throughout the Gentile world. Luke is the one the Lord directed to write the book of Acts. And now, toward the end, Luke is still with him. So he would have been among those that accompanied Paul and his companions when they loosed from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. Luke would have witnessed this separation between Barnabas and Paul over John Mark. But here, toward the end of his life, because 2 Timothy was the last epistle that Paul wrote, we read, take Mark and bring him with thee, what? For he is profitable to me for the ministry. So he wasn't holding the grudge. Here was 20 years later, he asked that Mark come see him and bring him with him.
Kama kuri usali ba mti na kumene kudali kupoya mba, kama vile kwa hili kwa uchenga wabu ini, kuda wangi sabudi yohane mali kwa kreo sa kumigira kumawi. Kama kuto musa iwale kuri po ala masuri kwa kuja kupaa po ada alika guru. Na hapa nisi mundiye kwa loyo. Ehi kuhine mwanza mina ada alika mle kubu ada ali Luka. Ndipo Luka ada kana mbili yonse umasuli kwa kuchoka kumele kuja kukupo mpone kwa kwa kupapo ada mbili mozi kwenye pali ponse ndicho nita kwa kakale mbe mbili musaiwale kukula Luka umasuli kwa mbe mbili 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 uka amene amene ada ziwa mbili yonse na unazosi zile zita jika mbili kwa kwa chipo mbili kandi mada 11 ya 2 timo mbili kwa 4 akuti Luka eka alipa mozi ndi ine. Untenge maliko, ajepa mozi ndi ine, pakuli ayende ya kutitu migira. Ndeta wana ni ya papa, kuli Luka ada kala nao, sozo kukulose, imeni lita ndi, lita kuolega na sawi jayo, amina ada kari ila, ada ni Luka, misho ni kwenye nga nga mbi. Kwa mazini mbi, kwa 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 mbi, Nada musalamu umurindi ko yokani mani ko musala kadi ba saicha kuri azze kamo zindi weyo kuri ayenela kuri ni kundi tu migira sa ibele kuri chona hani mani ko uja wayenela.
The point that we're seeing here is that our eyes should not be on men, nor should we take our direction from men, but the Lord. And regardless of how men may separate over what they think one should do or the other. If we're the Lord's, the Lord is going to direct us by His Spirit. Sometimes one way and sometimes another way. But nothing can truly divide those who are the Lord's. Now, coming back to Acts chapter 13, we see now that these minus John, verse 14, when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. This is not the same Antioch in Syria. This would be Antioch in the southern part of what is known today as Turkey, the country of Turkey. But back then, it was in Pisidia. That's what they called it during, under the Roman Empire.
Apa kudi yohane mali go wa mwe yambu yo sali na oso pa kudu libele ni ai. Verse 14. Kwa mwanyo wa wa, ata pida po choke ya kubere ge, ana tuka kwa mtioge ya wa mpisidi ya. Kwa nyo kwa mtioge ya uyu sa mtioge ya uja oya ndira uja. Uyu ndite la dina, kwa mwanyo mtioge ya uweo, ama gawi yo pina kumachomu nda mtioge ya kwenye so kumachomu nda mtioge. Nje mtioge ya uyu yu nda, kwenye kwa nyo kwa nyo kwa nyo kwa nyo kwa nyo ada pina kumele kujapa nchoke amele panoka amele kwa 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 kuti kuteke ipo analo wa msuna kwa getsi kwa sadana na kabazi.
Now it says in verse 14, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. You might ask, well, why would they go into the synagogue, especially if there weren't any of the Lord's people there? But there's the mistake. To think that somehow because there are these religious organizations around and where places where people worship that there aren't any sheep there. You think about where you were and where I was when the Lord drew us out. So they went to the places where these people gathered for worship, but more importantly, where the scriptures were read. It was in these synagogues that the scriptures were read. And so they started there, where the scriptures were read, in order to seek out those that were the Lord's sheep.
In Matthew 14,
I remember when the Lord first directed me to the Ivory Coast back in 1980, And I settled down in this little forest town way back in the forest. I was the only white man. And I remember as people got curious as to why I had settled in that town and they found out that I was there to preach, some of the other congregations began to invite me into their congregations to preach. And I didn't tell them, no, we're not of one faith, but I went as the Lord directed. Now, it didn't take long, just like with Paul and Silas, or here Paul and Barnabas, it didn't take long before they were no longer welcome in these synagogues. But initially, that's where the Lord directed them. And I can remember in Ivory Coast, the congregations that are existing there now in different parts of Africa were not started on their own. The Lord gathered these together out of congregations where they had previously been worshiping but had not known God in truth. And now the gospel was brought to them and they were separated out. That's how God does his work. I know for certainty that the gospel was not brought to Malawi because Brother James had already been separated out, meeting with his family and some other believers around the gospel. That's not where the gospel found him. In fact, I know from the story and history of the gospel coming to Malawi that you preachers were at one time in synagogues where the gospel wasn't preached. And the Lord brought his word to you. And there was a division. There was a separating out. And that's why your congregations meet separately now, because they know now how the Lord's taught you, and you wouldn't be welcome back. They wouldn't have you back. But it took the Lord coming into those places of worship where you were and drawing you out. You say, well, why didn't he draw others out? Well, because he came for those that are his.
Amusangu amali wamotindi oku kulubirira kumene kogo
Sikuti muda ni utepo kudodoni kila mare kwa hivu. Ai. Kwa mano, muda ni zime metoshan, mishimene malari kila adan, kuma bempega, kuma malari kila adan, utepo sari wajisto kwa ya. Kwa muda ni kusuma doge, umerumene kwa kwa hivu mchenga. Mutama na, muda ni makulari kila adan, utepo amele uko, amele utepo wajisto, ufina na tawi, kina ya ake utepo minojisto, muda kwa hivu mwani kwa hivu mwani. Udaba ya kema wangu na wachisu, kitomu uda kule kanitani, antwe na minimda ya kana nao, ada kwa laka muda kwele la mbuyo, muda kwele la uso, kumita ya jane so, umasimuda la kalake, kudimu kwezo kwele la kwele la uso, iwa uso sada la kalake, kuna kwezo kwele la kwele la kwele la uso, muda ya kana nti itu mpaka na kwalo, wato kwa mta kwele kana inuleo, mkusonga na pamozi, uji kumpiro isi, mara ikeo kema wangu na uu, njimele mundu, ama chizira, wakuna kwa nisi na uchela wagi ama mwleza ama ni kanisaji ena mwlelele kamenda mwlelele lalina ena mwlelele lalina.
As we read on in Acts 13 here, we're going to see there's a separation that's coming. But it began here in verse 15 of Acts 13 with the reading of the law and the prophets. That was the custom in these synagogues. Someone would stand up and read a portion from the law, and then they'd read a portion from the prophets, and then someone would give the exhortation, the explanation. Well, here the Lord directed that they should ask Paul, who was visiting them, to give an exhortation. You talk about an opportunity. It wasn't Paul that demanded it, but as he was there, they were directed of the Lord for him to speak. It says there in verse 15, after the reading of the law of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.
Wina sama inmiri la awalebe mkulane lelaune neri. Aga tena wina wile mbule mwage aganda ulire aganozema waja alikire mkuna wagi. Njeno ina fila nsami watelo alishina kumpe mpaka ulo kuzi awaganda ulire awalebe kisa sama wagi. Chivere chukukuna wanesi la kwele kumpe suri alishina kumbira kwa ulo ni mpaka sage ai kuma alishina kumpe mpa kuna alalikire aganozema uchema wagi na mbuna wale mbuna ujao.
I have not done so recently, but I can tell you that over the years there have been opportunities and times where when I've been traveling, I have just gone into a congregation where the Bible was believed and read, and I've been given opportunity to speak just because I'm a preacher. They ask who you are when you get there, shake their hand, and they want to know all about you. Well, I've had occasion where they told me, well, our preacher is not here this week. We had somebody else from our congregation that was going to speak, but would you speak? And they give you that opportunity. Now, in the end, it didn't turn out well because what they were expecting to hear was not what they heard. But nonetheless, the Lord directed that even in those occasions, the gospel be preached.
Na kwa hivyo endapo ni kumaka kuza maalo mpere la mtu na kulangu kwa hivyo mpere leko mara wa mpere kwa hivyo ni mwini la mwolo kumene kujana kwa hivyo kwa hivyo kwa hivyo kwa hivyo kwa hivyo kwa hivyo ni ya mtu kuza kwa hivyo sabela ya mbule mbala ya kwa hivyo sabela ya sabela ya kwa hivyo mbala ya kwa hivyo 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 kwa Yeno kadele de basi mambo ya mambo chengo gali hiki. Mina mambo jipine na jikikila musaiwa wa mambo sali kwa hivyo. Bani mekimbo hivyo 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 hivyo. Mkeno na jomina liye sabangu kwa hivyo 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 h
Now what we're going to read here, and this is why we can't do this all in one study, but from verse 16 all the way down to verse 41 is Paul's message. And this is why I say that we have here a pattern of how it is that we are to preach the scriptures. Notice, he's preaching from the Old Testament. I know some that say, well, they didn't have the gospel because they didn't have the New Testament. Oh, no. All of Scripture has but one message, and that is Christ. If you just scan down through these verses from verse 16, he's giving a history of Israel through the scriptures, but it's all to arrive at one point that we see in verse 23. That everything God did, even in raising up David, was that, verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. And notice, they don't mince words. They say, Jesus. Now, I'm confident that Paul's message was much more than what is preserved here in the scriptures. This is Luke giving us the general tenor as the spirit directive of his message. But we see here similarities between Paul's message and Peter's on the day of Pentecost, where he started at the beginning and came forward to show it all had to do with Christ, and even Stephen. Remember, that's how Stephen was stoned in the conclusion. They didn't have any problem in him rehearsing the history of Israel, but when it came to what is it all about, and it's all about God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's where now tempers began to flare. Now when Paul begins there in verse 16, it says he stood up and beckoning with his hand. That means that there must have been some murmuring going on. Maybe some people had already heard of Paul. Maybe they'd heard that he had been once a Pharisee and now had been converted. So we don't know. There was some murmuring going on, and he raises his hand and beckons them to be quiet. And then says, notice, men of Israel. So he's addressing there the Jews. And then he says, ye that fear God, give audience. Those that fear God, he was actually addressing Gentiles who were in the synagogue that were called proselytes. And in throughout the book of Acts, where you see that distinction, men of Israel and ye that fear God, it's addressing people that were born Israelites, but those that fear God were ones that had converted to the Jewish religion who were Gentiles, and so they were called God-fearers. He's addressing here Jew and Gentile in these synagogues.
Apo kuti padali kumumuta muuza pati pao, anthu amanumuta kwayi jesuti adali palisi, kumene kupatsatiwa asandukita mtima walembera mtima, ndi afuna alalikire sabtozwani, ndi anthu akumumuta yeti adakotola ndi dzanja, kuti ndaluza, lachitiwala adanena adakotola ndi dzanja, koma adizungu kupatsatiwa kuti adakweza dzanja kuwaletsa kudali kanje, ede, mbetserani, ndi adawawusa kuwaletsa, adawusa kuti ambetsere, adawawusa mawu, akutayenda kwa kuti, Amuna a Israeli. Kulanza kwa kuti, amanokuwa ndaye Yuda, amene kwa uru kuchiyuda. Adapadu wala Yuda. Nji inu, akwapa Mulungu. Ama apadenda ukrema kusawza amikundu, amene adapi astandulika, kukala Yuda. Musaiwale, Yuda amene makulawi. Padare kundu amene amakata kumbenye shiyuda, wakulila kuyuda, amaya katake biwila. Nje padare kundu wina, amene wachita kusandulika, Kuchoka kumbuina wawazu, ndi kukulubi ndi kuyamba kuyenda miyambu ya chiyuda, ndiyeno amakamu yuda kumastari muyuda hai, amina atara amiru yudu. Ndiyeno, ababa kwenye wake, peleuda maalika kumakula hui lawa, amalakula za Israeli, kumansu amalakula za amiru yudu, amene anari akuwapa murungu, jada wazari, kena nipawi ya.
See, these that fear God, they were in verse 43. They're described as the religious proselytes. These were ones that were told that in order to be a child of the kingdom, they actually had to be circumcised like the Jews. So there was a physical circumcision of the men. And then they had to learn the law. And actually, they were catechized to become Jewish worshipers, but they always held a second place position in the synagogues. The real important ones were that you had to be born a Jew. We can let you in as a Gentile, but you have to become one of us. That was the message.
Malumani amakucha kundiwe muyuda wachita kusandulika. Ndeni nafika maro kumpe mpele na musuna kuhoke. Inuwe sonuza ya ntokunika kwa mbilizeni. Munalia hapa nambala 2. Wala mbili ya kuchokolo mkando huu makara wa yuda yenye na kina kukua wangame iwao na yuda. Ndeni ya mkula kakia kwa makara wa yuda wachita kurembe nunga chikoja tatila miyambo ama kara kwa kuyo bao. Ndeni ya mkulo amaranku wa kuji. Mumbele mkendo wa wilo inuwe ya mbile sandulika.
Now the offense of the gospel message that causes in the end here a division between these Jewish leaders and unbelieving Jews and Paul and Barnabas is the fact that in his message he declares that in Christ there is no difference. There is not Jew or Gentile, bond or free. This is where this message is headed. And they became, in verse 45, filled with envy against Paul. It says they're contradicting and blaspheming. They would not have this Jesus that Paul says was the one who is the subject of Scripture all along, the message of those Scriptures. They would not have this Jesus. Now we're going to come back to this message next time. I'm just giving you a little sketch of how the message of the Bible is Christ and how that in Christ there is no difference between Jew or Gentile, bond or free. That God has that people that he chose from eternity, from every tribe, nation, and tongue, for whom Christ came into the world to save by his life and his death. That's the message of Scripture. See, the message is one Savior, one sacrifice, and one salvation through him. It doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile. That was the offense to the Jews because they thought themselves better than everybody else because originally they had been the ones through whom God had given his word. But all of that, as we already saw in verse 23, all that was promised to the patriarchs and David was for the raising up of a Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 23.
Jeto mutundu wanse wabuti mulibe furu mulibe kabolo mulibe miuda mulibe wamidundu chibele tondeke jizukuru chibele utenga wabino anzu aneme kabuziwa nukuru kirira chifukwa ngane ikuru yona usindwi ayi kwa chibele kuru wada kwa ndizi kwa ni magabe tezili ya kuhoto na mshoyi ache ya muru ngu wonga mwono jesuzano ana usila israeli mpurumusi Yesu. Pagana Israel, pagana makumuwa kunya sidwa, amazina kapi wanjo kawa kukuni kira, chifonima ngeza na wamuru kukwe amarankuli kwa kwa iwo, na makeza kundi wakawa kukuni kira wambiri, saka maona msoro kwa iduli na randu, nimele kwa wakawa kukuni kira ai.
See, we have to be careful even ourselves as to how we perceive people that the Lord brings into our congregations. Because our tendency is to think, well, if this one here was raised under the Scriptures, they're going to be more likely to understand our message than perhaps these over here that have, were never in any kind of congregation where the Bible's preached, but now they've come in off the street. In our minds, we're thinking that they'll have a little bit more difficulty perhaps understanding the message. How foolish. There is no distinction. God will direct His word to the heart of His people, no matter what their culture, background, or upbringing. You notice in verse 16, when he stood up to speak, he made no difference. He said, men of Israel, that addressed the Jews, and ye that fear God, you of the Gentiles that are here as proselytes, give audience. He made no distinction between Jew and Gentile. They were all put on the same footing. And you notice in verse 26, he addresses them partway through the message again. Men and brethren, he says, children of the stock of Abraham, but he doesn't even pause. He says, and whosoever among you feareth God, whosoever means of the Gentile nations that are represented here, notice, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Not to the Jew, but to you, whether Jew or Gentile, there is that people that God has purposed to say, and to you this is sent. Well, we're going to have to pause here. Next week, we'll come back, Lord willing, and really look into how Christ is the subject of all of Scripture. But today, on the message of the Bible, that's what we've seen. It is Christ. It's Him crucified. And it's for those, whether Jew or Gentile, that God himself has purposed to save. And he's going to get everyone. Everyone for whom Christ paid the debt, he's going to draw to himself. And the rest, they're going to go about doing their religious duties in blindness, just as they did when they began. But the Lord is going to separate out his people.
Well,
I'd encourage you to read on through the chapter. You'll see how it all comes together. The Lord willing, next time we'll pick up again with verse 17 and just see how Christ is the subject of all of Scripture. But the message of the Bible is Christ. That's it. One word, Christ. I'll turn it back to you.
It was in the service this afternoon, and my senior me, human number 65, in my name number 65, in the local language, and then in the Namaki. Yesu Abaza, Kuelega, Anage, Abiko, Nihubala, Bati, Pumo, Zabuwa, Lazo, Nake, Anage, Abonga, Yes,
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, who is the Word. And I thank you for eyes to see. I thank you for those to whom you have given ears to hear, because we know without your grace, none of us would ever see Christ. We would be reading these scriptures just like the Jews did of old, yet a veil still over their heart. But I'm thankful that that veil is removed in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and where He has been pleased to reveal himself, there indeed is liberty. This is not a message of rules and regulations and morals and customs and traditions, but one word, Christ, your blessed Son. And I thank you that those that are yours, you do cause them to rejoice. And any that are yours still in some of these congregations where Christ is not preached, that you will, even as Christ promised there in John 10, other sheep I have were not of this fold. You will call them out and draw them to yourself, even as you have us. So that I give you praise, honor, and glory. I pray for these dear brethren that will be standing and preaching Christ tomorrow in their congregations. May he be our one message. May our one voice be to point sinners to him, needy sinners, not looking upon the outward of those that come to hear, but, Lord, just believing that you do the work, and you will indeed draw those that Christ has redeemed. And so we give you the praise and honor and glory. We want that all of it be unto you. And and it's in Christ's precious name I do pray this. Amen.